Welcome to the Spin Access Podcast. I'm Eric Barseski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Tyson Deskins.
Today we're going to talk about how the long game and the short game are different and a couple different aspects of what golfers need to understand. How in the long game, you want a certain like of sequence and a couple different elements in your swing, and how they might be completely opposite in your short game. And again, golf's hard. So we're going to take this into the knowledge of...
If you want to turn your long game into a short game, do it wrong.
That's another episode.
Yeah. So Tyson, let's kick off. When you see golfers coming in, do you see that you've maybe heard the, your chip shot is just a full swing, just a little shorter. Yeah. Ever heard that one?
Well, the golfing machine calls it, right? They call it the pitching motion and, you know, they call it those things too. So
yeah, definitely hear those old sayings. And I'll sort of say, all right, if we break golf down in its most simplistic form, right? What are we trying to do? Well, off the tee, we're trying to speed the ball up. We got to make it go fast. That's what makes it go far. The closer we get to the hole, we're actually trying to slow it down. And what I will see is, you know, most golfers aren't good at both of those. Some golfers aren't good at either one of those, you know,
right?
But you'll often see, you know, elements of a golfer who maybe moves the ball really fast off the tee, but they can't slow it down, right? Because they're trying to do the same thing in the short game, or a golfer
vice versa,
you know, or vice versa. Exactly right.
Yeah. And you see that on the PGA Tour. You see excellent ball strikers struggle around the green.
Absolutely.
Why is the case? Well, the couple elements that you want in your long game, or let's call it, I think it's the power sequence, is, you know, you want a little bit of a stronger club face, right? You want to be a little shallower. You want to be able to turn and rotate. And in order to do that, the club needs to be in a good spot for that. And the face needs to be in a good spot. Now we flip that around. And then Eric, what do we have in short game?
A whole lot of the opposite. Often the club face is laying back a lot more if we want to hit a high shot. Often we're using a lot more wrist timing and stuff like that. We're not using as much body rotation. The club head is overtaking a lot faster for some short game shots. Depends, right? You can talk about chips. You can talk about pitches, depending on your definition of them.
Right.
There's not as much of a pressure shift. There's not as much of... It's often still in the same directions, but the magnitude is very different. The plane on which we swing a lot of clubs is very different, right? A lot of short game shots are a lot more of a vertical swing plane. You know, on TrackMan, it's literally called VSP. With the full swing, it's a little bit more around us and not quite as vertical. I agree with trying to take speed off. I mean, intentionally, sometimes we try to hit a short game shot off the toe a little bit.
Absolutely.
Because we can still have high club head speed, but it doesn't translate to, and the ball probably doesn't literally, but, you know, feels like it sticks to the face a little bit longer. It gets a little bit more spin while taking speed off.
Right. Smash factor goes way down.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, just trying to slow the golf ball down. Right. And, you know, I think there's a lot of, you know, we need the high rev engine off the tee, and we're trying to control the engine as we get closer to the green. And to your point, Eric, right? Like a wedge is one of the shortest clubs in our bag. And oftentimes good wedge players stand closer to it and grip down, so they make it even shorter. That's going to make that VSP higher. You grab the driver, you're farther away from it. If you're a good driver, it better be more around you. You know, what are your thoughts there, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest eye-opening for me, I just came back from my TPI level 3, and they've got all the top, you know, world-class golfers out there, and they've got them in, you know, motion capture, and they've got them on force plates. And a couple of the big things that they talked about was make sure that the club stays in front of your body on short games. So, for instance, obviously, we talk about, like, hand depth and getting that club, like, on the hands or behind the hands at P6 or last parallel in the downswing. And we don't want to get the club, you know, in front of us.
Yeah.
Short game, basically the polar opposite. Your goal is that you want to get the club out in front of you so that you can basically be steeper into the golf ball. How do we be steeper into the golf ball? Well, if we get that out there, well, guess what you start doing? You start early extending. Mm. When you start getting early extending, you move away from the ground. The body goes up, the center mass goes up, and you see all these motions in the best chippers and pitchers in the world, right? Like I have a video on my phone of like Stricker, and he's literally like clubs out past his hand.
Yeah.
Just straight up, standing straight up, club drops, beautiful chip shot. Well, if you took that same motion and did a full swing, people would just like barf and vomit in their mouth because they're like, oh, look at like how steep that club is. Look how much easier like standing and standing up in that shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's the shot that you need in order to have good crisp strike, control your low point, because you're not bringing a ton of speed into that shot. You're like you guys mentioned, we're trying to basically control our speed to the finest amount. And so they talk about it as the fitness sequence in there. And it, that one, again, was a big eye-opener for you. We're basically trying to get the club head to outrace the hands and the arms. And so the chest outraces the arms because the segment after isn't slowing down. It's actually speeding up. So that was really cool for me to see. And then for them to quantify how I've sort of been, you know, teaching a little bit of like, you know, you want to move up and away from the ground. Like, you know, James Seekman was talking about his number one thing is down is dead. You as the golfer cannot move towards the ground in any short game shot, especially your hands, which is then they talk about, well, why do people's hands drive down towards the ground? And guess what? You've got too much lag.
They're trying to deliver shaft lean.
Yep, they're trying to.
Because they're tired of fatting the ball, but then their bottom of their swing arc gets too low into the ground. And so then they move the ball back because they fatted it. And then they drive their hands down and they get into this cycle where they're just driving down into the ground because they keep fatting it. And they keep thinking, if I get shaft lean, but then they're hitting a bunch down. This is where some of the stuff gets lost in the translation where we talk about like, oh, I'm too steep. So, you know, whether you're talking about chipping and low spinners and stuff, whether you're too steep and swing down, it's often not that you're actually too steep because you can be forward a little bit, let the club fall down. You can hit down 10 or 8 or 7 or 5 and then get the club to come up out of the ground because your body is moving up and your hands have already started moving up. So you're releasing that lag while your hands are already starting to go up. The club hits the ground going down, but you don't keep driving down.
Correct.
So the bottom of your arc comes quickly. It's almost like a V more than like a U that just keeps driving down to the ground. Like the backside of the U just keeps driving down. So down is bad. And yet that's when you see people fat and thin the ball all the time, right? They're often going down at the ball. And when they move it too far back because they fatted the last one, then they catch one thin.
Yeah.
They start going down and back, right?
Correct.
Then they start going down and back. Yeah.
They hit that thing thin.
Yeah. And best players in the world, they go up and away.
Yeah.
Right. And away, it's like.
And forward.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Like almost towards a target and then back and away. So think like if you're at the golf ball, you're trying to go as a right-handed golfer, you're trying to go over your left shoulder, basically, is where the body's going.
Toward the target, away from the golf ball, away from the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think to your point too there, Eric, right? Sometimes things get miscommunicated or just translated wrong by people and they see, oh, I got to hit down on it. And they think to hit down, they physically have to shove their hands down. And that's not how angle of attack is created. Like we know that, but you know, so many players will do that or they've been told to keep their head down forever. You know, knees are collapsing, all those things, which is just not what's actually happening. Right, Jason?
Yeah. And it goes into, you know, turf interaction, making sure that you have the proper wedges. I know we were in a separate episode, we were talking about getting a good putter fitting. Having a proper wedge fitting was eye-opening for me. So I got to go through the blind grind fitting. And when you start interacting with the turf with the proper amount of bounce, but also grind to your motion, all of a sudden you get the confidence of like, oh yeah, I don't really have to work too hard to let this club basically interact with the ball. And then if need be, the turf. Derek Dempsey is one of my favorite short games, and he talks about sort of the four different shots. I would say that some of those are like higher skilled,
sure,
you know, shots. James Seekman is like, we'll just get good ball first contact. And if we happen to run into the turf as we're getting good ball first contact, that's where you have a, you know, proper wedge with the proper amount of bounce. And having different bounces and different grinds on your club are important because in one situation, you might want to have one club, right? So if it's very, very tight, you're going to want to have low bounce versus if it's wet and soggy, you want to have a higher bounce. And that goes in the same in the bunker. At TPI, it was interesting. You know, we're doing little mini lessons and James Seekman's got a guy in the bunker and he's like, all right, hit some shots. And here's where it was really cool to watch him work. And so he's like, okay, here's, we're going to aim like this. We're going to set up like this. And I hit me your stock shot, and hits a stock shot. And he's like, okay, like everyone, what do you see? And so everyone's talking about that. And he's like, okay, that's really good. So do you think he needs more shallowers, or do you need more steepeners? Right. And that's, you know, as a golf coach, that's truly what I watch people's swings. Like if you're hooking the golf ball, oh, you're too shallow, your hand path's too low. We need to add in more steepeners. Well, the same thing goes in your short game. So when you're watching yourself hit shots, hopefully you're videotaping your short game, just like you should be videotaping in your long game. What are you seeing in your motions? Do you need more steepeners in your short game? Like, is that club coming in? Is it wrapping behind you and then getting below your hands as you're coming back down into impact? Well, that's too shallow. You need to add in a couple steepeners. Guys, same things, thoughts?
I think here's the big, I think you just hit on a point there. A lot of people, it's more fun to try to bomb driver as far as we can bomb it. And I don't see a whole lot of people who are out there filming their short game and trying to make that part of their game better. It's always full swing, you know, and I'm sure you guys have this. I'll have people in a lesson admittedly tell me that their short game is terrible, but they want a driver lesson, right? Like, yep. Because it's just more fun,
right,
to try to make the ball go far and make it go fast.
Their driver is too close to their short game. See, they want to get their driver farther. They don't have a lot. We have people, and I will say, okay, here's your club. You know, get your 54 degree out. They have a 54 and a 58, maybe, let's say. Okay, hit me a standard chip shot, land it there, and let it roll wherever it rolls, right? But just fly one there. And I'll be like, okay, how do you hit one higher that lands in the same place? And they'll do all kinds of stuff, right? And I'm like, why don't you just switch to your 58? And they're like, oh, well, okay. But then there's also ways, like, let's say you have your 58 and you want to hit one high and you want to hit one low, and you got to know how to kind of manipulate some things.
For sure.
And not enough people just play around with stuff. Just go learn how to, like, do some stuff, right? Your wedge is a tool. Your wedges are tools. And they're just flat pieces of metal eventually that have some grooves on them. You can use them all kinds of ways. You can set up in some crazy ways. I will do a shot where I lift the hosel off the ground, the club face is pointing almost away from the ball, and I will just slam the toe of the club into the ground behind the ball. The face rolls over and the ball almost pops over my left shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you wouldn't do that outside, especially off soft turf, because you just stick the club in the ground. But on a mat, you can do that shot and, like, it works. You would never do that again on the golf course, but the club is a tool. And, you know, if you set up with the loft, you can have your weight incredibly far forward and just leave it there with the ball position up there, slam the club into the ground, and the ball can, like, literally pop up 2 feet in the air and go 6 inches forward.
Yep.
At 65 miles an hour of club head speed.
Right.
So
yep.
Learn to use the tools in your bag and just mess around. Try to make the ball hook when it hits the green, like bounce left or spin left. Try to make it go right. See what happens, because certainly one of the shots that you can hit in a short game is to go more around you and almost hit like a hook shot, right? If you need to force a ball to, like, roll up a slope, like up a tier or something like that, you can kind of play a little hook shot. So not every short game shot is...
Yeah, you're going to remove some of that spin loft. Yeah,
not every shot is a steeper swing plane type thing, but you could take it back with a little bit of, you know, right wrist extension, roll it inside a little bit, feels like it is, and kind of hit like a draw with a wedge, and it comes out low and runs. I encourage people to just play around. Right. Just goof around. You don't have to record yourself. Just see what it feels like you do and see what kind of shots you get.
Yeah.
See how repeatable they are.
And Eric, I can't tell you, obviously young kids love to hit flop shots, right? Young kids love that. Yeah. Right. And I'll hear parents say, I tell little Johnny not to do that. And I'm like, well, hang on a second here.
He's learning.
Let him play. Let him feel that. Like,
let the boy watch.
You know, he's 8 years old. You know, like, if he's playing in...
Just so long as he's not aiming at the windows on your house.
That's right. Like, if he's playing in a tournament and every single shot he's hitting is a flop shot, okay, let's have that conversation. But let him play. Let him figure it out, because to your point, I always say, you know, obviously the golf swing is part art, part science. And like short game players, you're going all the way back to Seve, man, he was just an artist, right? And we can get so bogged down, I think, sometimes into the technique that then there's no artistry coming out in the short game. And when that club's moving slower, there's more variance there.
Yeah. And, you know, if you can go out and you can practice, which you should, if you're obviously struggling with your short game, go out there and practice and find just one vanilla chip shot that you can repeat that gets the ball on the green. And if you're struggling with it, absolutely videotape your swing and go like, all right, why am I struggling with it? That club is coming, you know, back from my butt from into my downswing. Well, that's too shallow. How could you add in some steepeners? How would you feel like? I think Justin Spieth, he's always talking about every little shot, every short game shot is a little cut spinner. Yeah, maybe in your full swing, you need to feel like you're trying to hit a big draw. You're trying to feel like you're shallowing with that club, get it back behind you, turn and rotate, all that good stuff. And then in your short game, it's like, all right, I need you to feel like you're making the biggest slice that you could possibly. And you're trying to cut across that golf ball and that pops up the ball and it gets it onto the green. All right, then you got your new feel to get that ball onto the green in one shot. So we've got long game, power, different sequence. We want to feel like, okay, can we get the club, the arms back and behind us so we can, you know, bring them down and then turn and rotate. And then on the flip side, we've got short game where we want to feel like we're trying to keep the club in front of us, get it a little bit steeper, feel a little bit more like we're trying to get that club and get that speed out of that club earlier, right? So that we can almost feel like maybe there's a bit of deceleration through impact. Is it Wesley Bryant that played on the, man, his short game is unbelievable. And it literally looks like he's slowing down as he's coming down into impact to that golf ball. It was one of my favorite action. I mean, his brother's great too, but he gets that club so high in the air and then just feels like it's just falling into that golf ball and boom, it pops up. It's awesome.
And I think that's a good point too, right? Just because you move the club far doesn't mean you have to move it fast.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I would say for people who struggle out there in their short game, get a lesson. I don't know if you guys would agree, but when the club's moving slower, it is a little easier to help people move better. when they're swinging 115 miles an hour, like it's hard to make them move any differently because the club's moving so fast.
Yep.
So coaches can make you better relatively quickly in the short game area.
Yeah.
I will say this though. I think one of the reasons why men or boys tend to be better with the short game than women or girls tend to be, not all the time. My own daughter, I would say similar things to, I would say, trust the speed. There is a lot of times when you have a lot of speed in the short game.
Sure. Absolutely.
It doesn't translate to ball speed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of times when you are swinging kind of fast.
Yeah.
Like you're moving the club head fast. It's laying back. It's overtaking. It's doing that stuff. But if you want to hit a high, soft shot, you need a lot of speed because that smash factor is low.
Yeah.
It's 0.8. It's 0.85, it's 0.9, something like that. So you need to be swinging pretty fast because that ball's going up a lot more than forward. So if you need to carry it 20 yards, that's a big swing. We've all seen Phil Mickelson take big swings. He's moving that club head 75 miles an hour.
Yeah, 100 for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
With a grip down lob wedge. So do not be afraid of speed. Learn how to swing the club head fast without it turning into ball speed.
Yeah.
Love that.
And again, that's a little bit of that sequence, right? Getting that club to get in front earlier, which is awesome. Right.
Yep. And overtake quickly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Love that. Anything else to add, fellas?
Nope.
Awesome. Great talk. If you haven't subscribed yet, first off, like, what are you doing? Hit the subscribe button. Share this with all your buddies. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. And you can always find us on all socials. If you like this episode, let us know on socials. If there's something you want us to cover, just set us a comment. And then you can always find us online at thespinaxis.com.